Hey guys, this is Nathan Chen, U.S. champion.
Hey guys, it's Christy Yamaguchi.
Hi, this is Mariah Nagasu.
Hey, this is Karen Chen.
Hi, this is Sasha Cohen.
Hi, this is Adam Rippon.
I'm Alexa Kinnearum.
And Chris Kinnearum.
Hi, I'm Maya Shibutani.
And I'm Alex Shibutani.
Hey, this is Michael White.
I'm Madison Chalk.
And I'm Evan Bates.
Hey everyone, it's Vincent Joe, and you're listening to Ice Talk.
Figure skating fans, it is episode 57 of Ice Talk, the figure skating podcast from Ice Network. I'm Nick McCarville, your host, and I'm actually sitting right now in the SAP Center in San Jose alongside my trusty co-host, Jackie Wong of Rocker Skating, and we're going to take you through what has been an intense, a crazy, a dramatic, a wonderful U.S. championships ahead of the PyeongChang Winter Olympic Games next month. Jackie, this has been quite the weekend. I mean, maybe just initial thoughts. We're going to dive into the men first. Obviously, we're going to talk about each of our disciplines today, and then we've got a special interview with Nathan Chen to close out the episode. But wow, what a few days here in San Jose.
Yeah, none of you can see this, but Nick and I are actually like resting on pillows right now while we're doing this.
If only.
It was one of the craziest U.S. championships that I've ever seen. And it's strange, right? You think every year it's a little bit crazy. And I was talking to somebody else and they were like, well, you're just, it's a, you know, availability bias. You just went through this. Of course you think it's the craziest thing. And I kind of skipped back to the last couple of years and I'm just like, no, nothing has been kind of like this before, especially in the men's event. So it was eventful.
Yeah,
tell you that much.
Yeah, an eventful event. Well, you mentioned the men's event. Let's actually start there. And Nathan Chen, of course, capturing his second straight U.S. title, a surprise silver medal for Ross Miner, Vincent Zhou finishing third place, and Adam Rippon fourth. That Olympic team then that was named, of course, includes Chen, Zhou, and Adam Rippon. So let's actually start with the Olympic selection itself, because if you take controversy, if that's sort of our headline, it was this selection, because a lot of people thought Ross Miner, the way that he performed, you know, second place in the free skate, doing what he did, owning the moment here in San Jose, he perhaps should have been given more of a consideration to have been put on the U.S. Olympic team. But the selection committee, in what we were told was an 11-1 vote, chose to go with Rippon because of what he's been able to do this season, including two second places at his Grand Prix and a fifth place at the Grand Prix final.
First thing I wanted to say was Ross Miner was incredible, lit up the arena. I mean, skate of his life. He hasn't had something like that in a long time. And you know, whether or not you are in support of the decision, you have to be happy for him to have skated that here, especially after a couple of seasons where he did well in the short program at Nationals and then faltered in the free skate. Yeah. So he kept it together here too, you know, what was called clean programs. So it was really great to see. As far as the selection goes, really, Adam Rippon has to be thanking his lucky stars that he did well enough in the Grand Prix to get onto the Grand Prix final, because really, really, that was the difference. Had he not qualified for the Grand Prix final, I would have been much less certain of his spot in the Olympic team, because you look at the criteria of U.S. figure skating, and in what is called Tier 1, which is their most important criteria, we don't know how important, it's probably weighted pretty heavily, right?
Yeah.
But in their Tier 1 criteria, it's the U.S. Championships, it's the Grand Prix Final, and then it is the World Championships of last year. So you would think that recency has a lot to do with it. So that's probably in order of importance: U.S. Championships, Grand Prix Final, and then the World Championships from last season. And so Adam, having one qualified for the Grand Prix Final, he was one of three people to do it. Nathan, Adam, and Jason, and then being the second U.S. man in the finish at the Grand Prix Final, that helped him immensely. And really, I think that was the key to his qualification.
Well, and I think then if you pair that with, obviously, Adam, you know, very much helped by that situation, but then you look at Ross Miner and what he's done recently, the sixth place at Skate America, finishing off the podium at both the Autumn Classic as well as Finlandia. Both of those results obviously did not help Ross. Now, he had the skate of a life, two skates of a lifetime, finishing second place. It really was a moment in time. That free skate had this entire arena shaking. But what the selection committee in U.S. figure skating has tried to do in the last couple years is putting out this new criteria saying, listen, it isn't just a moment. It's about what have you done for me lately, not just tonight, not just this weekend. And for Adam Rippon, he had his one, perhaps his first bad skate in what, 2+ years? It had been a long time, and he had obviously hampered himself a little bit with that ankle injury last year, missing the U.S. Championships, missing the World Championships. But as you mentioned, he made up for it. And then on Vincent Zhou, he showed this weekend that he can deliver under pressure, as he showed last year at this event, then going on to the World Junior Championships, winning that event. And he is the future along with Nathan Chen. And that's the reasoning for putting those guys on this team. Obviously, Nathan in a league of his own trying to win an Olympic medal. But you really, I think most of you listening will understand, no matter where your heart is, you will understand with your head where that criteria came into play with the selection.
Yeah, and at the press conference, when U.S. figure skating president Sam Auxerre was on there, he mentioned, we see the list of criteria, right, those competitions that we have to look at. But then he also mentioned the other things that they were looking at, which was average score during the season, which was with Adam and Vincent having higher scores than Ross Minor did. That was one factor. Another factor was the head-to-heads. We talk about it all the time. You can't compare across competitions as much. And when you have head-to-head battles, especially internationally, and you've got Adam and Ross at the Skate America, Vincent at Villania Trophy, there were head-to-heads where it was Ross who was not up there. A lot of those made a lot of difference.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we were going through this weekend too, because we'll of course get to the women as well. But you know, it felt like all this drama with the women unfolded, and then it unfolded with the men as well, and then not necessarily with the Olympic selection, but the way that the dance event ended as well. But wow, what an event overall. And we can of course continue to talk about the selection process itself, but Nathan Chen really won this event going away, and he did so with a foot that isn't 100%. It was something that he wasn't necessarily wanting to talk about, but he took the quad lutz out of both his short program and his free skate, calling a 5-quad free skate watered down, which it was, because he used the flip instead of the lutz. But still scores over 300 points, winning this event by almost 40 points. He really is looking, and for the first time we saw his Vera Wang costumes, he is looking towards the Olympics as his next event. And I think he did as best as he could to set himself up for what should be a knockout Olympics for him.
Well, after Adam and Jason skated the way that they did, and just not having the kinds of skates that you would want from them, for Nathan to come out and in some ways save those last three skaters, it was really great to see. It was his best performance of the season with that free skate. Two flips, two toes, and a sow cow. No pops except for the triple axel, which, you know, that is a problem jump for him, as we always know. But other problem jumps for him have been the second quad toe that he's popped a couple of times this season, and that quad sow that he's popped. And you've got to see this as a confidence builder, especially because, one, he was under the weather, two, and two, he had to change things around because that lutz wasn't happening for him.
Right.
And so, you know, you look at what he did here versus what his other main rivals did at their respective national championships, and you have to think that Nathan Chen just did himself a lot of favors for his own confidence, and looking ahead to basically a month from now at the Olympics. He obviously didn't really make too much out of that. You know, we asked him at the press conference about what he thought about the others, and you know, he's been paying attention, but he said, look, the Mikhail and Shoma both had their nationals literally like 2 weeks, 1 week, 2 weeks after the Grand Prix final. And he was like, I know how hard that is to turn around like that. So, you know, he doesn't really pay much attention to that simply because it's different circumstances. Mm. And that is a great attitude for him to have. Like, the last thing he wants to do is feel like he's, you know, kind of invincible because of one competition versus other a couple other competitions that were, you know, a few weeks ago.
If we build our way up then from, you know, looking at the Olympic qualification scenario coming into the men's event, it really was a disappointing and disastrous weekend for Max Aaron, a 12th place finish in the short program. He didn't really step up then even in the free skate. I think, you know, he gave that pretty emotional interview to Andrea Joyce saying, listen, you know, not everyone's dreams do come true. And I think we've probably seen the end of Max Aaron as far as a competitive skater goes. And then Jason Brown, I mean, third after the short program, perhaps held up a little bit by the judges as far as his technical mark went in the short program, but then just couldn't deliver. And he actually skated after Adam Rapon. And I was backstage with Adam, and you could see and feel the emotion from Adam Rapon thinking, oh my gosh, what just happened to my free skate? And now I'm watching Jason Brown, and if Jason would have delivered in his free skate, I mean, obviously these are hypotheticals, but it would have been a whole different scenario. But Jason Brown comes out, falls really hard on that opening quad toe, and then just wasn't able to recover. I said on ice desk, it felt like his boots were so heavy to the ice. And that obviously cleared the way for Vincent Joe, of course, Nathan, and then really cleared the path for Adam Rapon. I think we have to mention Grant Hochstein and what he was able to do, finishing fifth overall, taking fourth place in the short program. It was a consistent and solid weekend for him. But Grant, I think, you know, as a skater that has sort of been a little bit one step below, say, an Adam Rapon or a Jason Brown. So when you have Adam finish ahead of him in the overall competition, he's the guy that's going to go to the Olympics.
Right, and I actually saw Jason today in the concourse, and you know, as always, cheery, and you could see the disappointment in his eyes, but he was trying to make it
yeah.
as happy and, you know, himself as possible. But you know,
he is Jason Brown,
no, yeah,
yeah, which we appreciate.
But he told me, he was like, his mind was still on those triple axels, and he was like, well, you saw the ones that were good in practice, and literally the three of them that he did in, you know, in the short program, where it was definitely a questionable call on the rotation, and then in the free skate where, you know, he stepped out, I think there was an under rotation there as well, at least one. Those three were three of the worst ones he's done all week.
Right.
Whatever it was, who knows? Maybe it was too much pressure. Maybe he was just thinking too much of it. I don't know. But it has to be disappointing because, like you said, after Adam skated the way that he did, really all Jason needed to do was stand up and he would have made the Olympic team.
Mm.
But he didn't. He couldn't, whatever the circumstances were. But, you know, he and Max Aaron both have a shot to just close out their season better at Four Continents. And you know, for Max, as you said, it was, you know, that you know, the whole dream not coming true thing. But I think a lot of people would love to see him end his season and probably his career on a high note at Four Continents.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up. Final thoughts on the men. You know, obviously we're sending the team that we are to the Olympics. Well, there's a lot to look forward to what Nathan Chen could do. I think we're in for a lot of fun dynamics with those three guys. Papa Adam Rapon going with his two sons, as he lovingly called them, in the Olympic team selection press conference. But, you know, this was unexpected in a lot of ways. And I guess, why do we even expect the expected? We should have expected something to happen like this. It was surprising to see Adam Rapon skate the way that he did in the free skate. And let's hope that was sort of the bad skate that he's shaken out of his system ahead of South Korea.
It probably was the most nervous he's been in quite a long time. He's been so confident, so sure of himself, and he really was just so close to being able to qualify for that spot without any issues. The drama happened, and it happened. But looking ahead, I think the big question for me is this team event. For those of you who don't know, the team event, obviously four disciplines after the short program happens, and it's one man, one woman, one pair, one dance team, right?
Right.
And after the short program happens and you qualify for the free skate, then you are allowed, each country is allowed to switch out a maximum of two of those disciplines. So I do expect because they probably will want to rest Nathan, because the men are pretty early. The individual competition for the men is pretty early in the sequence.
Right.
They probably want to rest Nathan, and so they will switch out one of the guys. Is it Adam? Is it Vincent? Who knows? As we saw at Sochi, where, you know, someone like Kevin Reynolds had a skate of his lifetime and ended up second in the team event free skate.
Oh my god. Right?
You know, a lot of things can happen there, especially with the countries who are going to be there.
Yeah. Well, it was the ladies who kicked us off this weekend. It's crazy to think that Wednesday night was so long yet so short ago. But of course, we saw the weekend unfold the way that it did. Brady Tennell winning her first ever U.S. title, followed by a second place from Mirai Nagasu, who I would say in a lot of ways was the emotional story of the weekend. A third place finish from Karen Chen, having been the defending champion here at the U.S. Championships. And then it was Ashley Wagner, who of course finished fourth place. Fifth place for Mariah Bell. And what about Star Andrews finishing in sixth place, really with an inspired, a very lovely free skate that she actually sang to half of. I mean, it was her voice over the loudspeaker, which was amazing. First off, Brady Tennell, and what she, you said that she exists on planet consistency. After the short program, she continued to do so, but wow, off of Skate America, and she never faltered. She really never did.
It has so much to do with the technique that she has. It, everything that goes up in the air for her is straight up and down. And because of the numbers that she's put in competition, she knows that she can do it. And there's never a doubt in her mind. It's not, it's one of those things where she has just grown up consistent, and she continues to be consistent. And you gotta credit her coach, Denise Myers, for, you know, someone who's really kind of an unknown coach for people who aren't in the skating world. But you got to credit her coach for teaching her that kind of technique. And I talked to Denise afterwards, and she was like, well, Brady's really a coachable student. And I was really like, well, yeah, you could have a coachable student, but you have to have a coach to coach that coachable student. It's great to see. And she just is unfazed. She is unfazed because she's confident in her training, and she trusts in her training, as she tells us many, many times.
Oh my gosh.
Which is totally true.
Right. Well, there was its own controversy surrounding the women's selection. Brady Tennell, Mariah Nagasu, and Karen Chen will represent us at the Olympics. Ashley Wagner is officially the alternate to go for the women's team. But, you know, there was a lot to be said about Ashley and her performance this weekend. We saw her debut the La La Land free skate. It was a beautiful program. It was not clean, but she did come out and really skate her heart out. It was a different sort of program that we've seen from Ashley. And I think the story that sort of revolved around Wagner this weekend is, it started in the short program, didn't feel as though she got the component marks that she deserved. A lot of people agreed with her. And then again in the free skate, felt as though, and you could see the disappointment on her face when the scores came up, shaking her head, and then goes to tell the press in the mix zone, I'm furious. This was not the way that I should have been scored at a national championships. And perhaps was it the judges trying to send a message that Ashley isn't or wasn't the skater that they wanted her to be? Was it them punishing her for pulling out of Skate America the way that she did? I think a lot of people can throw different conspiracy theories out there or whatever you want to say about it, but Ashley was not happy with the way that she scored, and then it really made it almost impossible for the selection committee, because when we look at those different tiered criterias, Ashley did not have, say, what Adam had in her back pocket. She had a third at Skate Canada. Otherwise, seventh at the World Championships. It just has not been the last 12 months what we saw perhaps for her leading up to the Boston World Championships, when she had been so strong. And so really, I'm guessing in that selection room, it was, well, it is Ashley Wagner, but she hasn't necessarily been the skater that we've needed her to be. And with the judges' scores here, they chose Karen Chen.
First of all, so many tears. There were so many tears everywhere. I mean, happy tears, sad tears, whatever tears. Kind of
tears of confusion.
Tears. I mean, you expected that at this event, especially with the kinds of competition that we were looking at and the storylines that we were looking at. With Ashley, if you look at the components, if you look at the protocols, there were basically half the panel was giving her the marks that she probably usually would expect to get in international competition. The other half was not. And that other half swung those component scores lower. And, you know, you saw her get lower components than she would at an international competition for the last couple of years. International competition that she didn't skate as well as she skated here. And that was probably what was so mind-boggling for her. You have to think about interpretation of music. You have to think about the choreography of her programs and how they are relative to the other skaters. And, you know, you can argue till the cows come home about it. At the end of the day, she really did know that after the short program and the way that they put her components, that she needed a pretty clean program, and she got a almost pretty clean program in there. You know, that Sao Cao in the loop Sao combination was in a lot of ways the nail in the coffin. And, you know, I will not insinuate anything about Christy Yamaguchi being in the building and everybody messing up their Sao Cows because Christy Yamaguchi hated her Sao Cow. But, you know, that is a whole conspiracy theory into itself.
But, aside.
But it's tough to see a champion like her be left off the team. But like you said, the way that the standings came out, she had no case this year. She just had, even if you looked at Brady Tennell and Mirai Nagasu, the head-to-head here between Brady and between Brady, Mirai, and Ashley, like Mirai finished almost 20 points ahead of Ashley here, and that head-to-head in this most important competition just eliminated the thought of that of Brady or Mirai being bumped off for Ashley. And then with Karen, had Ashley been healthy at Skate America and skated the way that she might have been able to skate and gotten silver or gold there and made it to the Grand Prix final, that would have been a completely different conversation, because she only lost to Karen here by 2.4 points. And with that extra tier one criteria of making it to the Grand Prix final, it would have been a very different conversation. But, you know, her Skate America injury there, you know, we've all been hearing the conspiracy theories there about her just kind of withdrawing because she
didn't want to
embarrass herself, quote unquote. But you know, she doesn't make excuses for herself, and she will not be tweeting out pictures of her foot, which if you see those pictures of her foot, it was an injury that was very severe, and it took her a week and a half to recover from it after the competition.
What she did tweet out following the Olympic selection process was, "As an athlete, I'm allowed to be mad. As a senior competitor with over 10 years of experience, I'm allowed to question things. At the end of the day, I laid out my best, and I'm going home proud. Congrats to the lovely ladies of the team. You've got me in your cheering squad now." And then she added to that, "Lastly, Twitter, before you eat me alive, don't forget there's a real person on the other end of these tweets." And I had the privilege of being backstage for Ice Network during the ladies' free skate, talked to most of the girls, including Ashley. And I watched a pretty raw, and what I saw as a genuine moment of Ashley walking up to Mirai after Mirai did what she did. And it was a beautiful moment, hugging her. They held each other for a couple minutes. And you can think whatever you want about any of these girls competing. There's real respect, and I would guess at some level of real friendship there. And they lay it all on the line. I was in this room the other day with Michelle Kwan, and someone asked her about, you know, you are friends with these girls that you know and you train with. And she said, "Yeah, we are. But once you go out there for a free skate, they're your enemies. You want to beat them." And we've seen that every side from these girls. But what a weekend it was for Mirai Nagasu, and getting her moment 4 years after she didn't. And again, no matter what you think about Boston in 2014, Mirai brought the house down here in San Jose and 100% earned her place on this 2018 team.
Mirai was magical. It's less about the skate. Like, she was not clean. She was hitting practices that were much better than what she put down here. But it was the way that she fought through her nerves there that, like, you sensed the entire crowd just really trying to lift her up and make sure that she rotated her jumps and make sure that she was assertive and aggressive as she needed to be in order to get get all of that technical done and get on the team. And you saw the emotions that came out of her after she finished her free skate. And you know, how can you not be just, you know, beaming after that, after that free skate? So, you know, I think for Mirai, the hard part is done. She is now finally back on the Olympic team after 8 years. And who knows? Really, the sky's the limit now for her, because she's kicked that gauntlet down. And the hurdle's gone, and she's now going back to the Olympics, and going back to the Olympics with the triple axel that we saw a lot of times in practice, really clean, and not here.
Right.
And, you know, her putting it down at the Olympics with a clean triple axel and a four triple short program, that could get her in the final group. And that makes a big difference when it comes to her component marks. And her components are not right now as strong, especially when it comes to transitions, especially when it comes to kind of interpretation and choreography for the moments when she is preparing for jumps. You have to think that now that she's got the monkey off her back for the next 3 weeks, she and her team are going to try to really amp up the energy, amp up with the choreography so that she can get back to where she used to be and potentially make a run for a top five or maybe some kind of medal. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Who knows what will happen?
Well, lastly, as we wrap up our discussion of the women, it was a weekend of survival for Karen Chen. She did not feel well, fell ill after the short program, did not practice the day before the free skate, saw her mental coach in between the two programs, trying to will herself through that long program, which wasn't, you know, particularly one of her best, but it literally was enough. As Jackie mentioned, 2.4 points overall. Ashley Wegner was third in the free skate over Karen Chen, but in front of a home crowd as defending national champion, Karen Chen delivered what she needed to get onto the Olympic team. And, you know, it was such a strong season from her last year at this point. Obviously, she had the big hiccup at Four Continents. But now, again, we turn the corner for Karen. She's got to clean up those jumps, because those under rotations that maybe, you know, would get a little bit slippery here in front of this judging panel in the U.S., the international judges aren't going to be as friendly.
Yeah, exactly. Three under rotations, a downgrade, plus an edge call. She really squeaked by. And, you know, had she been fourth place, that same thing with Ashley, right? Like, it would have been a surprise to me if they would have put her over Ashley, given the circumstances. But who knows? Who knows what would have happened in that case? But that said, Karen Chen made it to the Olympic team. She's now going, hopefully, you know, recovering from her illness and making sure that she gets the jumps done as they should be done. She's much more comfortable with these programs that she had last season, that she's returned to. And you have to think about her fourth place finish last year at Worlds.
Yeah.
That is an attainable goal for her. And at her best, she is a contender because of the big jumps, because of the fabulous spins, because of some of the really ethereal choreography that she has, especially in that short program that I love so much.
Right.
Cleaning up the jumps, you know, we saw her do much cleaner stuff in practice. But when you are under the weather and you're trying to conserve your energy to just get through that free skate, she really was trying to make sure that she just went up and rotated jumps. And that's what she did for almost all of them. The just hooks on the landings, that cost her a good number of points, and it almost cost her the Olympic spot. But she's in.
Any last thoughts on the ladies before we move on? You got a couple more?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Star Andrews, right? Yes. And we'll talk about her later. Yeah. We'll talk about her later, but so Star good. Andrews. Oh my gosh, Star Andrews.
She is a star with one, that's one R. I mean, on her name it's two, but she's a star with one. Well, the Pairs event was up and down. It was a roller coaster in a lot of ways, but Alexa Semeca-Kinnearum and Chris Kinnearum, they're your champions. They're headed to the Olympics. Everyone expected it. They delivered what they needed to. They did not deliver on the jumping components. They're going to have to work on that a lot over the next few weeks. Tara Kane and Danny O'Shea skated a great free skate. They are your second place finishers. Deanna Stellato and Nathan Bartholomew. I feel like they had a lot of people's hearts this weekend, especially Deanna Stellato. And also a great moment for the pewter medal winners, Ashley Kane and Timothy LeDuc, especially in the free skate. They came back after an eighth place finish in the short program. And I would say disappointment probably for Haven Denny and Brandon Fraser. But just a couple minutes on the pairs, because we do just have that one spot. It goes to Alexa and Chris. They've got to continue to strengthen, improve. But thoughts on the pairs overall?
I think the pairs showed a different side of the U.S. pairs this week. There is absolutely potential, you know, we keep talking about. But what is now becoming more and more the case is that these pairs are actually staying together. And they're working through problems and they're working through, you know, everything that they're going through. And they are making sure that, like other pairs in other countries, that they just stick it out. And when you stick it out, that's when the improvements actually happen. And for Alexa and Chris, they've been around for a few years. You know, they were at the World Championships in 2013, like, I think in their first season together. And then there was a disappointment that the year after not making the Olympic team, and now they have. And you could see it in Alexa's eyes especially, because she thought she blew it. She thought, you know, those two side-by-sides were maybe costly enough that it might have cost her the first spot. Luckily for her and for Chris, they had that quad twist.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
And that quad twist was a good 3 points advantage over Tara and Danny, who had a triple twist that was, you know, a level two, and that, you know, that made the difference in the free skate. And, you know, they ended up winning by about 6 points. It wasn't as big of a gap as we probably thought it would have been, and that has a lot to do with the fact that Tara Kane and Danny O'Shea came back really, really strongly. And that was something I didn't expect, especially given their Golden Spin performances not too long ago. But they were saying, you know, they weren't even training all of their elements until 2 weeks before Golden Spin. And with a couple more weeks of just reps and confidence and understanding and knowing their choreography, it got better and better and better. And so you got to look at those top six teams and think that there is really a lot of good to come out of it. That said, like the ladies event, I felt like there were some components things going on at the pairs too. Judges trying to send a message, who knows? But you know, with Denny and Fraser and Castelli and Tran getting the component marks that they did, especially in the short program, with just a mistake, it didn't feel right relative to everybody else.
Well, and I like that you mentioned sort of the next quad, because obviously this is the U.S. Championships in 2018. We know who our Olympic team is for the pairs event. But it really will be so intriguing to see what's going to shape out as far as the pairs team goes. Can the U.S. teams get stronger? Brooke Castile on Ice Desk was talking about, gosh, these pairs teams need time to develop. And not time a few weeks, a few months, a few years. And we've seen it with the Kinnearums. And Stellato and Bartholomew have said that they want to keep skating. I mean, all these top teams, Danny O'Shea is probably flat out the best pair skater in the country. I mean, he's got so much skill. Now can they continue to build on it? I think they're all going to push each other. And Marissa Castelli telling us, we saw her last night, she's like, no, we're going to, you know, we're moving to Boston. We're going to push each other. And we'll see, you know, can Mervyn get his citizenship? Because then once that happens, it'll just be sort of a whole new ball game in the next quad as far as the pair scene goes, it feels like right now, because it maybe wasn't necessarily the most intriguing event here, but it really does have potential.
Yeah, and whether or not Marissa can get her jumps back, that's the other the other question. But with these top six, we talked about it on the press conference and after the short program, they know that they can't just do this once a year. They need to be doing these programs the way that they're doing them here at the U.S. Championships all the time in international competition, so that they can be at least vying for medals on the Grand Prix, actually medaling in Challenger Series events, all of that kind of stuff. The world of pairs has changed so much in the last 4 years. It's gotten so much stronger, and these pairs know it. And had this been 7-8 years ago, you would have seen a couple of these pairs be much more near the top. But it's a very different atmosphere now with the pairs.
Excuse me, I love that we had Alexa and Chris on Ice Desk and just asking them about their feelings and reactions to being Olympians. And Alexa goes, "For the first time, I got to wake up this morning and kiss an Olympian." Which I just thought was like, what a strange thing to say, but also like, yeah, you did. So that's awesome.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing these teams develop. I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing them develop into consistent pairs and, you know, get rid of that stigma of U.S. pairs being the blah of discipline, because they have so much that they can offer.
You guys, right when you thought that all the drama was done at the U.S. Championships, it was the time for the free dance. And we're actually just a few minutes after the free dance, having wrapped it up. But Madison Hubbell and Zachary Donahue can call themselves U.S. champions for the first time in their career, skating so strongly all weekend. They actually finished second in both the short and the free dance, but that didn't matter because first place after the short dance was Maya and Alex Shibutani. Maya had a slight blip in the free dance, and that was enough to let Hubbell Donahue sneak in. And then third place, Madison Chalk, Evan Bates. Hubbell Donahue, the Shibutanis, and Chalk Bates separated once again by less than a point. Actually, Jackie, point
half a point.
5-2. For those three teams. And Madison Hubbell said in press after they were after they won the event, it means so much to them, obviously, to win this year because of that, because of what it means for PyeongChang, but to do so against such a strong U.S. dance program.
Yeah, 0.52 between the top three, just like at the Grand Prix final where Maya and Alex had a mistake in the free and actually there in the short, and they couldn't have afforded another one here. So it was super close. They all knew it. What was really great, I think, for Hubbell and Donahue is that they now can go into the Olympics knowing that they are not the only team to not have won a national championship, because Chalk and Bates won it a couple 3 years ago, Maya and Alex won it the last 2 years, and now Hubbell and Donahue have won it. And so the U.S. brings three national champions to the Olympics.
It's crazy. And also, I mean, Brooke Castile made this point on Ice Desk, was that the Shibutanis won the short dance, Chalk Bates won the free dance, and then Hubbell Donahue wins the event. I mean, you know, and for Maddie and Evan, they obviously look disappointed, but gosh, they dance so well in the free dance. They've got to have some joy out of winning the free dance the way that they did. But the international judges will have watched what happened here, and not just the placement, right? Because we've talked about, and Charlie pointed this out on our Ice Talk previewing nationals, was it does matter who won this title. And now Hubbell Donahue go into, you know, the Olympics with a little bit of an edge for that Olympic bronze medal or better. But, you know, these teams are so close, and the international judges will see that. And it just sets us up for, wait for it, you guys, more drama at the Olympic Games.
I thought you were going to do hashtag throwdown showdown.
Oh, my God.
With the Shibutanis, right? Mm. They absolutely, among those three teams who are about to be announced for the Olympic team, among those three teams, the Shibs do have the best short dance. It was electric here. They know how to perform it, which is very different from the last few seasons where they've been free dance skaters very much. And you have to think, after two somewhat disappointing performances from them of their free dance, you have to think that they're going to go back and rethink. And I think that that diagonal step sequence where Maya made the mistake, that I believe has been giving them problems all season. But watching those three teams, it really was a difference in the kind of speed and energy between the two Madison teams, Chuck and Bates and Hubble and Donahue, and then the Shibutanis, who didn't have the energy perhaps that we've seen from them, especially with their Fix You free dance, mm-hmm. That they had a couple of seasons ago. That was such the breakthrough for them. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, like you said, the teams who are behind them, wow. We're going to see another 4 years of really great ice dance from the U.S. The Parsons and McNamara and Carpenter coming in after kind of like so-so seasons and like trying to figure out.
This weekend.
Trying to figure out where they were internationally, and they come in and just lay it down, and to get those the points that they got, to skate the way that they did, that it's going to be really good for them. And my guess is they're going to get on the Four Continents team, and that will give them more confidence and more points, really, for the international spots.
Well, and this is hearsay, but what I've heard this weekend, and I think you've heard the same thing, is that our top three dance teams could very well be around for the next quad. We're going to see, going to see what happens over the next 6 weeks in their lives. Maybe someone's going to go on Dancing with the Stars, et cetera, whatever. But, you know, those challenging teams could have a lot more to deal with in the next quad. You know, just to close up on the dance conversation, because these teams are so dang close, it was inspiring and I think emotional for a lot of fans and journalists to watch the reaction from Madison Hubble and Zach Donahue. And then I've never seen the Shibutanis as disappointed as they were after. I mean, they were almost just like in totally shell-shocked as to what happened. This means a lot to all three of these teams, and don't anyone doubt out there that they're going to put every ounce of hard work that they can leading into South Korea for the Olympics.
Yeah, I mean, same thing with Chuck and Bates. They got their free dance scores, and it was a big score. It was a 118, 118.99.
Yeah, yep.
A big, big score, and all you saw was them staring at that placement, which was third. They had no idea how close it was at that point, right. And this title meant a lot to all three teams, and only one team got it. Will this shift momentum? We'll see. I don't think it's going to change too much, because they know that, especially Maya and Alex, know that had they skated just a little bit cleaner, they would have gotten that national title. But that said, all three of those teams have said, we can do better. We can skate better at the Olympics.
Yeah. All right. Wow. What a nationals it was. Coming up in just a couple minutes, it's myself and Nathan Chen chatting about the fact that he's an Olympian now. But before Jackie and I go, moments of the weekend. Mariah Nagasu had one. Wow, wow, wow. Ross Miner obviously had one. But there are some unsung heroes and sort of what's on the horizon in U.S. figure skating. I loved Tomoki Iwatashi and what he was able to do in the free skate. And also the young guns as far as what we're going to see next from the men. Alexei Krasnorajan. Am I saying that right?
Krasnozon?
Krasnozon.
We really need to get him to say it to us.
And he's got quite the personality, finishing in 10th place. He's someone with a lot of potential. And as we mentioned earlier, I'm bouncing around here, but Star Andrews was so delightful. And that free skate was a great free skate. We'd like to see her more internationally, of course, next season. She's only 16. She's done great work with Derek Delmore and the people around her. But there were just moments this weekend that obviously don't necessarily make mainstream media because it's an Olympic year, but it just makes nationals that much more special.
Well, I'll talk a little bit about Star Andrews. I talked to her coach at the bar after the free skate, and he said, he said that she's so ready, right? She trains well. She's so excited about competing and all of that. The X factor for her over the next few years is, does she get a triple Lutz that is actually on the right edge? That is the biggest thing for her right now. They were saying that they were focusing on the triple axel at the beginning of the season because she hasn't been able to fix that edge on the Lutz, and they know they're going to get dinged for it. So why not focus on something else that could actually potentially get her more points, which is that triple axel. But we will see where it goes. We will see her more this season. She's going to four continents. She's going to Junior World.
Yep.
That's going to be a lot of big-time international experience for her. And if she can really capitalize on what she did here and get some big scores internationally for the first time, really, we could see something great come out over the next 4 years from her.
I just love the performance overall that Stellato and Bartholomew were able to put out in pairs. The fact that she said that she wants to keep skating. She is a wonder. Watching her and what she's able to do. And then we just talked about the dance. There were so many strong dance performances and what's going to come sort of from that second tier. It's not even fair to call them second tier teams, but from that tier below our Olympic team. There's a lot of great stuff to watch. I also loved watching Jackie Wong in the press zone, and every journalist who has covered the sport for a long time asking you and clarifying with you, and it's just a wonder. And I know that our listeners know this, but you work so hard. Well done. And you obviously are going to continue your coverage through Pyeongchang.
Oh, yay. So exciting. So exciting. Before we forget, we can't not talk about Jimmy Ma.
Of course. and how could we not?
How could we not talk about Jimmy Ma? I mean, he's one of the definitely unsung heroes here, right? Not expected to be among the top contenders, but having two of the best skates he's had ever in his career and having gotten so much more consistent, but then having all that social media attention on him because he skated to turn down for what? And that's the kind of attention that, you know, it fascinates people who are not part of the figure skating world. So, props to you, Jimmy Ma.
Yeah, seriously. Final thoughts before we get to our chat with Mr. Nathan Chen. And congrats for surviving Nationals.
Oh, my. I barely survived Nationals. Final thoughts. I can't wait to see this team at the Olympics.
Yeah, totally.
And the U.S. is going to be very much the contenders in the team event, probably right now a strong bronze, underdogs for gold and silver, once again, just like in Sochi. But it is a strong team we're putting there. If the skaters can do the things that they can do, watch out. The U.S. might actually figure out a way to get to that top two spots. The Olympics are now really less than a month away.
Here we go.
And
the look on your face.
oh boy. But it's gonna be a fun competition. I can't wait for that. And then I can't wait for some of these up and comers to hit their stride and to figure out how they are going to become leaders of the American figure skating world in the next few years.
Thank you for everything. Well done on the Facebook Lives as well. He's Jackie Wong of Rocker Skating, and up next, we're chatting with Nathan Chen.
Hey guys, it's Nathan Chen, 2018 U.S. Olympian, and you are listening to Ice Talk.
Awesome. Well, that is a great intro for you coming into this episode. Congratulations again. Since the win, we're now about, 36 hours or some sort of hours removed from what you've been able to do. What's been the craziest thing since winning the national title and being named to the Olympic team?
I mean, basically that in itself, just the fact that, now I'm two-time U.S. national champion and I made, I qualified for the U.S. Olympic team. That in itself is just a huge honor, a dream come true, really. Throughout the season, I had high hopes of making that U.S. Olympic team, specifically because, I basically hit all the protocol, all the criteria to make that U.S. Olympic team. So ultimately here, I knew I just had to skate clean. I knew I had to just do my job and I'd be able to make that team.
Yeah, I mean, for you, I think a lot of people felt like it was a foregone conclusion, but personally, that accomplishment, I think someone asked you about just ticking a box, and I'm guessing inside it doesn't feel like just ticking a box to be an Olympian, to say, I'm Nathan Chen, and I'm going to the Olympics.
Yeah. I mean, truly, before even while I was attempting to qualify, it really just kind of felt like I was trying to, check boxes, especially under the criteria, I had to win this, I had to do this, I had to do that. And it really kind of felt like that going into this event, but, as soon as the event actually happened and I was here and I skated both programs and then I got announced to the team, it's just like, it's so different. It's definitely not checking a box. There's so much more value to getting that text, saying that you're on that U.S. Olympic team, and it's just incredible. The feeling is just insane.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about it later, but tell me about getting that text message, because yeah. I don't think anyone listening out there can get a text message with so much weight in their life.
Sure.
What was your reaction to it? Where were you? Sort of just the details. And it comes from at least a number that you guys, I guess, would have saved in your phone, because it's a high-performance member of U.S. Mm-hmm. Figure Skating.
Yeah. So, yeah, it is a high-performance
You at least
member.
Know the number.
Yeah, exactly. So, that same number always texts us whenever we get selected for any competition. So whether it's Junior Worlds as a little kid or Worlds or now, you know, the Olympics. So that number is always a fun number to receive a text from. It was a little past midnight after we competed, and, you know, we're all pretty tired, but we're all just, you know, anxiously waiting for a text from U.S. Figure Skating after they made their decision. And it was just incredible, you know, it's just, you know, it's... You're partially, like, so tired, but also just, like, so excited that, you know, you've accomplished so much.
And were you just in the hotel, or where were you?
Yeah, I was in the hotel. My brother and my dad had gone to sleep already, so I was just waiting there.
You're just up alone getting a text message that you're going to the Olympics.
Basically, exactly.
Since that time, you know, a lot of press. You're going to do a lot of stuff today. I'm sure in the next couple weeks there's a lot planned, too. Mm-hmm. What's been the coolest thing? I know last night there was kind of a passing the torch ceremony with some of the Olympians from the past.
Yeah.
But what has been maybe one or two standout moments of things that you've gotten to do that maybe were unexpected from prior?
Yeah, I think throughout the season, I signed with a bunch of companies, and I've done a lot of media for them and a lot of, you know, advertisement things for them. And honestly, that in itself is probably one of the coolest things of this season, just to have the opportunity to do that, to just work with these companies and also just know that their support, you know, they're supporting me, and obviously they've supported some of the best Olympians and best athletes in general, and so to be included along this list of athletes that was definitely, you know, very honorable and, like, just an amazing experience. And also just being able to compete throughout the season, you know, being able to see all the competitors throughout the year. I basically competed against everyone besides maybe Javi, so it was cool to be able to see all these guys and see how they've been progressing, and also just to, you know, learn from them as best as I can.
Yeah, you talk about the season. For you, obviously there's so much, I think, extra circumstances around this competition, but how did you feel just about it as a figure skating weekend? Because there's so much around it.
Yeah.
For you, I know that you had to take out the quad lutz, that maybe there's a little bit of issue with the foot, but just tell us about how you felt about the two programs, and then obviously how that'll impact you going forward.
I mean, obviously, like, right now is not where I want to peak. I still have a lot to improve on. I still have a lot that I know I can improve on, specifically, you know, putting the lutz back in and cleaning up some of the things, especially, like, triple axel. You know, those are things that I'll address as we get back into training. But I wanted to make sure that, you know, I stayed healthy throughout this week, not put any risks on my body, and, you know, just make sure that within, you know, the next 3 weeks I'll be in prime shape.
Yeah. I know that you have gotten to start to experience all these, you know, new and cool things, but skating as you did, you were last in the free skate, in first place, you know, Olympic trials, everything on the line. Was it a different feeling out there? And I guess just how did you try to soak that in while also competing?
Yeah. In the short program, I definitely felt the nerves of, you know, the whole stigma behind this event. You know, I was thinking about, you know, how this is the main selection point for the U.S. Olympic team, how there's so many people watching, you know, how it was such a big event. But as I kind of got into the long program, I was actually pretty, you know, annoyed that I was last to skate in the free skate, just because it's like such a long period of time between the 6 minute warm up and the time you actually compete. It's like 40 minutes backstage where you just have to, like, you know, sit down, just try to calm your nerves. But honestly, it wasn't bad at all. I definitely felt way less nervous than I thought I was going to feel.
Yeah.
I actually felt really excited to perform. I was pretty confident knowing that I could do everything that I was setting out to do. And as soon as I stepped on the ice, the audience was, you know, just like wanting, wanting things from me. And I knew that they just wanted me to do a great performance, and I knew I could do that for them. So, you know, honestly, the audience there definitely helped a lot.
When you are last to skate like that, what do you attempt to do backstage? I think you guys usually take your skates off, and then are you trying to listen to music or not make eye contact with people, or what's sort of the best way you get yourself prepped to be that last skater?
It's kind of just trying to find the balance between, you know, staying warm but not tying yourself out, because it's like 40 minutes. You're not going to pace for 40 minutes, you know, that'll just exhaust you. So, you know, trying to make sure that you calm down for, you know, at least 10 minutes or so, and then trying to get your heart rate back up before you step back out on the ice.
Well, and there's also the sort of that risk of a lot of nervous energy coming up too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Taking what you learned about yourself from this competition, how is your foot, and what are you and Raf going to set up here in the next few weeks to get ready for the Olympics?
Honestly, my body's doing pretty well. I just didn't want to put any extra stress on it this week.
Gotcha.
Just to make sure that, you know, nothing bad could happen throughout the week. And it just gave me more time to, you know, just make sure that, you know, everything in terms of my feet and my hips are all good, especially taking out that LUTs, since that was just like a higher risk element. But everything else, you know, is good health-wise. I just need to, you know, I still need to sit down with Roth and discuss, you know, all of his goals, all of my goals, and see how we're going to accomplish that.
Yeah. And for you, I would assume at some point there was this discussion already had of, okay, once we make the Olympic team, here's sort of our, I don't think training will change that much, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, training is definitely not going to change that much. You know, now is definitely not the time to do anything super new. You know, there's only 3 weeks left from now until the games, really. And that's 3 solid weeks of training, but also, you know, that's not, you know, so much time in the grand scheme of things. So really just stick with the plan that I've already set out for this season and just keep trying to improve from competition to competition like I have throughout the season.
How was hanging out with the puppies this weekend?
Honestly, that was so helpful. It was so nice to have the puppies there. They were like so sweet, so cute, you know. It was definitely a huge stress reliever.
I mean, it was a little bit cheesy to like have this whole group of puppies backstage, but I really felt like you guys as athletes were like, this is cool to have.
It was definitely. I saw that like the U.S. swimming trials a while back had the same thing, and it was so nice to have that here.
And what about meeting a legend like Dick Button? It was special to have him here. He got honored by U.S. figure skating.
Yeah.
I know he had really kind words to say about you, and you're starting to meet all of these legends who I think admire you and what you've done. But he's obviously a very special name.
Yeah, I mean, I've admired them for the longest time, so it's, you know, super weird to think that, you know, they would admire me to any extent. But yeah, I mean, it was great to be able to meet him, you know, try to see if he has some words of wisdom for me. But ultimately, you know, just everyone, the general consensus from everyone is just to enjoy myself out there at the games, since, you know, it is really like a once in a lifetime opportunity. Don't just let it pass.
And lastly, you tweeted once during the competition, and it was a retweet from the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, that was the one that was like the most important to me. No, that was really cool, and I thought that was it was really nice of them to recognize me.
Yeah. All right. Well, congratulations, and we'll see you in South Korea.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
A big thanks to Jackie Wong, of course, of Rocker Skating, my co-host here on episode 57, and also thanks to 2-time national champion Nathan Chen. He is now an Olympian, and he heads there in a few weeks with a lot of pressure on his shoulders, perhaps to do big, big things. An Olympic gold in Nathan Chen's future. I'm Nick McCarville. This has been episode 57 of Ice Talk. As usual, big thanks to Mickey Brown. He is our editor, the man in charge. Kate Sullivan produces the show and makes us sound as good as we can. You can check out all of our episodes on Apple Podcasts or go to icenetwork.com and just click on the fans page. As usual, thanks to you fans for listening. Thank you for taking us for a spin, and we'll talk to you again soon.